And so we have with us this morning Bishop Scalicat Blue and his wife Lesma. Was I even close? I was close. Bishop Sergey and his wife Lesma are here with us this morning. They're in America for a month. And we had a lovely time last night with a good number of our leadership and their spouses and some of those of you who have expressed an interest in ministering in the Ukraine and the surrounding countries. So I've asked them to come be with us this morning. They're joined by Bob and Mary Jane, who have been our bridge of relationship to what's taking place there. But as they come to this pulpit, would you rise and welcome of this man of God and his visionary wife?
Thank you, Liberty. You're at home here. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Слава Богу. Иисус Господь. I will teach you Ukrainian word. Иисус Господь. It means Jesus is Lord. Can you tell this? Иисус Господь. Слава Богу. Means praise God. Praise God. Слава Богу. Иисус Господь. Hallelujah. You learn very good and very fast. It's a big joy for us to be here in the United States. You have a wonderful country and wonderful people. And I am glad that God created this unity between our churches. And because we are one family in Jesus Christ. Long years ago, we were enemies. United States and Soviet Union. But Christian was not enemy. We still with brothers. Amen. And it's good to know that in this earth we have Jesus Christ, Christ who saved us in Ukraine and saved you in the United States. And we're going to one country. It's called Kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we have Saint Futura. Great. And before I will be share some words, I will ask my wife Lesma to greet you and say something to you. Okay?
Thank you. Good morning. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
I'm in the right place. I'm very happy to be among you. And, you know, I'm amazed how many different nations live together in one country. You are already ready to come to heaven because you know how to live together. I was amazed when I was in the airport, so many different people. And you know, you have like unity. I felt this very, very strong. I want to share some word of God with you. Let's open Ephesians chapter 1, first chapter. First time in my life I am preaching in English. Sorry if I do make mistakes, okay? It will be different for me to explain my thoughts, but I think you will understand me. First chapter, Ephesians. I'll read from the third verse. Blessed be Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worked all things according to the counsel of His will, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. In Him who also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, our redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. I like this chapter very much, and I think that all gospel is in this chapter. And I want a little bit describe or underline some things of the places we have read just now. I want to speak with you this morning about spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Sometimes we very often think that Christ was crucified for material blessings on this earth. The only aim why Christ was crucified was like for us to be blessed on this earth. The Bible says that first, which we have to have, is our spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And I would like to talk with you about spiritual blessings this morning. First of them is, look at 4th chapter. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. It means that God didn't choose you where you was born or where you was adult. Or between this, God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. What does it mean? This word didn't exist, hadn't existed yet, but we existed already. What does it mean? All what you see around you, nice, precious things are not worth of you because you have more worth than all these things. Because you were before this earth. Because you were before the foundation of all these material things on the earth. You have more, how to say, value. You have more value than all these material things, that's why it doesn't matter where you live. USA, in Ukraine, in Africa. Because all this is, you can compare these things with you. You must understand that your value is very, very high. It means that our purpose of life is not just live and be excited with material things on this earth. It's not our purpose. The first spiritual blessing is that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Ask the question, why did He choose you? Not your neighbor, maybe not your relatives, not other people, but why did He choose you? Who are you? Why did mighty God choose you? Look at your brothers and sisters and think, oh, you are chosen by God. You are very special, like you are a special being. Because God has chosen you. Something incredible is in you. Something more than a human being is in you, because God has chosen you. For what He chose us, be holy and without blame before Him in love. Very often we try to walk before people. We want to be holy and without blame before people. Why? Because we want to have glory from people. Because we want to be glorified on this earth. Because we want to be something on this earth. But Bible says that we were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy in front of Him. It is our name, it is our aim to walk in front of Him, holy, not before people. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, why did He choose us to be His sons and daughters? He chose us to be His sons and daughters according to the good pleasure of His will. And you know, you recognize in the chapter that everything what happens is His will. It's not our will. Not we accepted Christ because we accepted Christ, but He chose and accepted us. This is a very big difference. Very big difference for your life. That not you choose Christ, but He choose you. Sixth verse, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Everything what is happening in our life is for the praise of His glory. And you can find three times in this chapter for the praise of His glory. You were chosen, you were adopted, you became sons and daughters for what? For praise of the glory of His, you were chosen for the praise of the glory of His grace. You live for His glory. You live not for your glory. So we say that saints are people who are separated from this world, yes? What does it mean? That we have no aims which are in this earth, on this earth. That we don't live for purposes of this earth. We have much bigger and more important purposes for our life. Because we are adopted by God, we are chosen by Him, we are to live for His glory. Because this earth will stop. You know, really, who is really rich, or who is really happy, or who is really spiritual, we will know on heaven, in heaven. Why? Because we will live eternity. Here we live some years, just some couple tens of years. But in front of us is what? Eternity. And only in eternity we will know who is really rich in Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The next spiritual blessings are redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. which he made to abound towards us all wisdom and prudence. You see from this verse that grace is not really pamkus, when you feel goosebumps, or how you say it. Oh, I feel it. Yes, grace really is wisdom and prudence. If you have grace in your life, you see, how can you say that God is in your life or God touched you? People who have wisdom and prudence, these people have grace. Sometimes it isn't connected with your feelings. Maybe often it's not connected with your feelings. It is connected with your possibilities in Christ. He gives you possibilities to do what you are called to do, or what you are separated on this earth to do. We are not called just praise Him. Now, sometimes we think that praise and worship is only Sundays come to the church and sing some nice songs together. Really, praise and worship must be style of your life. Everything what you do in your life must bring praise and worship in heart of other people around you. Do you understand? Why did He redeem you? Why did He forgive your sins? Just to sit in the church on Sundays? Three stupid aim. You can go to other meetings all around, you know? Did He give His Son, His beloved Son, for people just to come on Sundays to meetings? No. It was very serious price paid for you. Do you understand this? Very serious price was paid for you. That means you have very serious purpose on this earth, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. You see, He does everything according to His will. Doesn't matter what kind of will, what is your will. He adopted, He chose you, He chose you, He adopted you, He redeemed you, He forgave your sins for special aim. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. You see again, for the praise of His glory, not for our glory, but for His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with Holy Spirit of promise. Everybody of you who accepted Christ, do you know that you are sealed? How are you sealed? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We don't see this seal. I don't see upon you the seal, but He is. It is. You are sealed. And when the devil walks around this earth, you know that he walks and looks how to destroy something, how to kill somebody, how to light, yes? You know it. Because you are sealed, he can't touch you. Do you know this? Do you remember how Israel people went out of Egypt? Nobody was their families were not touched who wear blood on their doors, you know, yes? The same thing now is spiritually on your heart, on your life. You are sealed by Holy Spirit. He cannot touch you. He cannot make you ill, sick, miserable. He can't you make weak because you are sealed. That's why you are very, very happy people. You can live for His glory, to fulfill His will and not be touched by devil. He cannot touch you because you are sealed in spiritual life. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the grace of His glory. Again, for the praise of His glory. He is guarantee. Do you see? Really, you live already in eternity. Because you are chosen. You are forgiven. You have all possibilities to live in eternity. That's why your aims must be eternal. Do you understand this? And later, the chapter is like prayer. Paul prays God. He says, God, open our eyes of our heart to see all these things, not by our material eyes, but by eyes of our heart, to fulfill His destiny for the praise of His glory. Be blessed.
Слава Богу! Иисус Господь! Аллилуйя! Praise God, Jesus is Lord! Аллилуйя! Аллилуйя! I want to share with you about calling. But my English may be not so good, so maybe I will show something. My face, my hand. No, if you cannot go through your mouth, you need your hands. Your face, your body. I study in school French, so je m'appelle Serge, j'habite Mukachevo. But it is nothing more. So I went to Scotland to study English. Sometime later I recognized it was not English. So I was there for 3 months. Maybe my English is Scottish accent, maybe it's Ukrainian, I don't know. But I hope you will understand me. Also, we have Holy Spirit who can teach us. Everybody has calling for your life. You don't came to this earth just to be nobody. God has planned for each life in this earth. And calling, it is to be in mind of God. And your calling, is calling the right word? No? Your calling, yeah? Your call, it exists before you came to this earth. And it's not like somebody going to release child
don't become very busy. What I'm going to do with this child? What destiny for his life? No. Before child came to this earth, he already knew your destiny. So to understood your calling and to live with your calling, and it's very important. So Ephesians 1:18, they say that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Because calling in mind of God, nobody can cancel this. Somebody can go to computer, to Pentagon even, and to mix his program. But nobody can go to his mind. Nobody can cancel your calling, only you. Even it was two parts in mother womb or in mother in your father, God knows your calling. And it's very wise in the end of your life to say, it did it. What Jesus said on the cross? It's finished. It's good in the end of your life to say, it's finished. I don't want to die rich. I want to die empty. To do everything what he provides for me to do. To say all words that I must to say all words. To pray all prayer, to be and to preach everywhere when he wants me to be. You understand? So the man who don't know his calling has no vision. Because vision coming from your calling. Also, the man who don't know his call, they cannot pay price. And they cannot to be dedicated to something. If I don't know my call, I will never dedicate. I will never pay price. I will be when it's better for me. But it's not good to be where it's good. It's good to be in God's will. Very many Ukrainians try to leave Ukraine because life is not easy. 7 million outside of Ukraine right now, they going to work in some place. And they're looking for better life. I am not looking for better life. I mean, I am looking to be where God wants me to be. You cannot be happy if you have everything. You can be happy when you are in the plan of God in your life. It's biggest happiness. I was amazed once how God can see all sin in the world and be happy. It's very interesting. Sometimes I see what people are doing, I am unhappy. But he not see everything, he knew what they're thinking about, you know? It's much worse. And he still to be happy. He's looking on the earth, 6 billion people, and knew everything what they're doing, what they're thinking, and he don't push fire to them yet. And once I understood, he's looking not who they are now, he is looking why he give life to them. So he looking at me like what I must be in his mind. Why I am exist? Why I came to this earth? For example, somebody drunk. I see drunk
man or woman. But God see not what she or he done, but he see inside of her or him her cause. The best eyes is to see like God see. If you will look to the people same position and same eyes like God see, you will be happy like God. You will be seeing people call, and you will be seeing inside of people potential, and you will be develop this potential. So same society, people, parents can make with you all different stuff, but God see you for your calling. See, if you don't know why God called, we will be Golzorata. We will misused. If wife don't know why husband exists, she will misuse him. Correct? If husband don't know why wife exists, she will be misused her. If parents don't know why children exist, they will be misused children. Same children, if they don't know why parents, they will be misused parents. So, if you don't know why something exists, we will misuse. For example, drug is good or not? Drug is good. I mean drug. I was surprised. Okay. So what do you think? Drug. Is good or not? It's good. No, it's good. See, if Bob Wright has operation, they give drugs to him, so he gets sleep. Yeah, but in medicine they are drugs. Yeah. So, but inside of medicine they are this stuff, you know. So, if I am used, see in Ukraine some people use medicine like drugs. You can eat some medicine, 2-3, and you become like drugs, you know. Very easy. Like morphine. Yeah. So, if, you know, the drugs is good, but if you don't use properly, it's wrong. Same. See, what people doing with this body? What people doing with this life? If they don't know why body exists, if they don't know why they exist, they do funny stuff, you know. If you don't know why church exists, you will misuse church. You can use church for church, you know. You can use preacher for preach. You can use prayer just to pray. Or if you come to church, church exists for me, you know. So some people try to use church just for himself. So if you don't know why things exist, you will misuse. I have watch here. I have also son. He was like 3 years old, and he like take stone and threw to the water. This job, you know, he like to do this. And once he take my watch and put to the wall, and the watch stopped. He don't understand why it exists, you know.
So he misuses. If you don't understand why you exist, you will miss your life. Maybe you'll drop to the wall or you'll drop some, if you understand. You know what are you doing with your life. So to know why you exist is very, very important. When Jesus was 33 years old, he took the cup and he said, "Thank you, Father." He was thank God for his life. Be thankful God for your life. And he died. He was 33 years old and he died. Why? Because he done everything. No purpose to live more. See, if you've done everything, it's easy to die. When Bob had operation, I sent email. I tell in our church, he cannot die because he done not yet everything. I remember one guy tried to kill Reinhard Bonnke, his gun. And Bonnke asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I tried to kill you." I said, "Why?" "Because I don't like how you preach." I said, "Oh, I done not yet everything, and you cannot kill me." But when time coming and I do, or I will did everything, I will come to you and I open my what? Heart, then you don't miss. I have no purpose to live if I've done everything, you know. Jesus done everything, he preached everything, he done everything what he's supposed to do, and he died. He said, "It's finished." Hallelujah. Bible show us when we have called for the Zahalne specificne, like for general call and specific call. Bible says that we have called for life, for kingdom of God, for freedom, holiness, peace. But also, we have specific calling. Every man, every church, every country has called from God. Has purpose. Your church also has purpose. And if you know why your church exists, you can go somewhere. But if church don't know, call, they will be do this, or now it's another fashion. They will be do this, now it's another fashion to do, they're doing this, you know. So people who don't know why they have call, they're doing like brown in molecula, you know, they're going nowhere. House. But if you know your call, you can go. When God tell Abraham, "I call you to go somewhere," he left and he go. He go to the promised land. Your call is your promised land. So the best place to live is not America. Best place to live in promised land, but it's not Israel. Your promised land is your call. It can be Pakistan, it can be Turkey, it can be Ukraine, it can be United States, it can be Israel. It's place when you're supposed to be because God has called to you. Sometimes call has conflict with our age. When God called Jeremiah, he said, "I am too young." Or somebody say, "I am too old." Or, "I am too middle." I remember when God called me to go to the gypsies, I was 22 years old. And nobody go to them. and it was conflict. Sometimes call has conflict with your occupation or profession. I was vet, veterinarian. Sometimes the call has conflict with economical situation in your country or your social status. Sometimes has conflict, what are you thinking about your national patriot feeling? It can be conflict with your skill. And the vision is always bigger than your skill. If vision don't scare you, it's not from God. Always, when God tells me something to do, I was scared. When he told me, go to the gypsies, I was like, you know, somebody told me, you're afraid, you know. And after several years, he said, Sergei, I think you must go to the church. It was not acoustic voice, it was some inside, you know. And when I heard this, like, afraid, you know. Who? We are Ukrainian. Who I am? Who we are? Go to country who is richer than Ukraine, to some people, the Muslim country. I was afraid, you know. But now, after 3 years, I can tell it was from God. It was amazing. It was scary, but it was from God. David, he was shepherd. He ran after some animals, lion and bear. He played in the heart, but his goal was to be king. You know? See, you can be shepherd all your life, and you miss your destiny. Moses, in desert, he was desperate. Moses was 40 years, he lived 40 years with desperate life. He was not happy in desert. He was so desperate that he forgot to talk. You know how ships look and one day, meh, meh. So when God tell him, go to Pharaoh, he told, Who I am? I am desperate man. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I lose everything. They can kill me. I want to be here in desert with my sheep. But his calling was to make freedom for Israel's people. Maybe you made something in your life. You try something to do for God, and now you are desperate. You try to help people, but they accuse you. Don't be desperate. Maybe God called you today. You know, God showed him fire. Fire. Moses, you have no fire anymore, but I still have fire. Maybe you have no fire. Your fire gone. But God still have fire for you. And also, the bush was fire and green. It means you can be fire and you can be green. You can be fresh in God. You cannot be fire. Amen. And Moses lived like this. How did he die? Nobody knows. Maybe he even not die. Because nobody knows than his body. But Bible says that his eyes was very good. And his health was very good. He can climb to the biggest mountains and see the promised land. So God showed him, you can be in fire and you can be fresh, you can be green. If you serve God and it in His place. Andrew, Peter, they were fishermen. And God called them to be disciples. Matthew, he was tax collector. But his calling was different. So he can say to have dollar, euro, money, you know. They can still to have good fish factory, but their calling was in another factory. So he done very bad job for church. He took woman for her. Remember, yes, you know what I'm talking. So later he became Paul. You understand? You with me? Not yet. What he done before? He come to church, take believers to prison. He take woman, Bible says this, he took woman for her, you know. I am right now? Yeah. Can you imagine what she is doing? Brutal things. But his destiny or his call was to be apostle. So when time came, God called him. And he writes to Galatians chapter 1. He says, yeah, Galatians, God chose me from my mother's womb. So the man can do something different what God called him to do. And I like one prophet, his name is Jonah. God called him, go to Nineveh and preach. And he go opposite direction. And when he was in the ship, and he sleep, you know. So you can sleep if you have a big face, or when you are very disobedient to God. Remember, Jesus sleep on the boat, and you're not sleep on the ship. And these people was amazed to find somebody who can sleep in the sea, so big storm. And they told him, who are you? And he said, I am Jewish. Whom you serve? I am serve God who created heaven and earth. What are you doing? I am running from him. And they asked him, what we must do with you? And they tell, he told him, brought me to the water. Why he say this? Because he was prophet, he knew them big fish will catch him. No, prophets don't know the future. Even Samuel don't know who is going to be king. So Jonah wants to die. Why? He don't like this nation. He hates this nation. Because this nation, Nineveh, tried to occupy Israel. It was enemy. He was very patriotic. And he knows that God won't send him, and he will preach, and they repent. But he wants to destroy this country. So he tried to die like a hero. For the nation of Israel. But God has another plan for him. And then he jumped to water. He saw he's going to the Sheol. Sheol. And he sees dark, no light. He thought he's Sheol. But he smells some strange. And after a while he recognized not Sheol, it's something else. He recognized that he is in stomach of big fish. So he cannot be hero for the Israel nation. He must feel destiny. He must feel call of his life. And he started to pray, he started to repent, and fish take him to the beach. But when he was in the stomach of fish, he has two opportunities. He has two exits. One exit, like most people doing. Move, nice. You do nothing, just going. Step by step. And another is opposition, you know, against something. So you have also two options. After he jumped to the beach and go and preach. And it looked like it was only one call of his life, just to go to the city and to preach for repentance. So, why do you live? Why do you exist? Why I exist? What purpose of my life? To be like everybody. He has car, I have car. He has house, I have house. He has wife, I have wife. He has children, I have children. He suicide, I... God has destiny for your life. So, once I pray like this, Lord, show me why you create me. Lord, help me to be like you create me. And Lord, help me to do what you create me. Think about this. And I ask Holy Spirit, help to us understood call of our life. For example, I know that the Ukrainian nation has called to be missionary nation. And what I see opposite. How you can send missionary if you have no money? How you can send missionary for nation have poor mentality? I mean, they have mentality like second class people, you know. But I know that God can do this. And it can be like bread from Ukraine. Once conference, I received from God, you create mission like bread from Ukraine. Because Ukraine was bread basket for Europe many years ago. I believe it can be spiritual bread basket for the world. Ukrainians can easily go to Muslim country. They accept us. We can go to Iraq. We can go to Iran. We can go to Turkey. No problem. Syria. I knew some people that are going to Syria this year. So, to understand this call. But many people in Ukraine don't understand even why Ukraine exists. You know, God gave freedom to this country 11 years ago. Some president, even presidents maybe don't understand why he is president, why he has country. So many people I see in Ukraine, they just want to be pocket this money. And if they have pocket this money, they run to the United States or from another country. Escape, you know. God has called for country, for nation, for church, and for you. So it's very important to understand why God gave me life. And it's very good in the end of your life to say, it is finished. I done everything. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We're going to receive an offering that will really honor the work of God through this couple and the circumstances. We're already involved with them in many, many ways. Then we're going to have an invitation this morning and do some praying together. So make your checks out to Prague, P-R-A-G, and every penny that we receive will go toward this strengthening, encouraging the work that Sergey and Lossmer represent. Gentlemen, if you would be prepared to come and receive these. Last week, I felt like the Lord spoke something to me. Here you go, if you would, Al. As Hilton was ministering, God bless you, whoever you are. I read someplace that sneezes can exit our bodies at speeds up to 100 miles an hour. And ever since I have read that, my wife's accused me of trying to break that record. So I really identified with whoever that was. Sounded like about 89 miles an hour to me. That's not bad for a Sunday morning. But I felt like the Lord spoke something into my heart that didn't fit with what was happening last week, but it fits very well with the exhortation that we have received from both Lazma and Sergey this morning, and so I want to submit it to you. There's a testimony in Scripture that I want to call to your remembrance from Psalm 139, and it says very simply, it's the summary statement of what Sergey has just been sharing with us. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass." And how appropriate that in the context with which we've just been challenged, we should appreciate the fact that the days are ordained does not mean that you're living those ordained days. You might well be living your alternative to God's desire for your life. Do you understand? I felt last week that the Lord was sending out a call to Prague and its personnel, its constituency, to recapture that for which we have been saved. It's not just so you can go to heaven when you die. That's icing on the cake. But the fact is, you personally have been called by God for His purposes. You've heard that very clearly today. And I was stirred last week to ask us who have perhaps lost our way if we might not need to refresh those things we thought had died. Sergey very aptly said that God can restore your fire for those things you felt like God was saying to you. And I can say this by word of personal testimony. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I didn't realize the California He called me to was here, but you're sitting in my promised land. And in the process of being here all these years, I've had to face some things with the Lord about my personal calling and my personal destiny, because I've known since before I arrived in this town, and I hope you can hear this in the right spirit, I knew before I arrived in this town that I was bigger than this town. Do you understand? That whatever God was up to in my life was bigger than this little community. And yet for years, I felt the restraining hand of God on me. He had told me in the very earliest days of consideration in this thing that I would be coming in and going out. And for years, I was here. And then 3 or 4 years ago, I felt the Lord's release. You understand? I'm not going away to stay, but I felt the hand of restraint removed. And so I began to watch for whatever might come from that. And I've begun to see it as we get involved with the circumstances in the region and outside the country. And I know this about the way God deals with us, that there is a relationship between the way God deals with me, where he puts me and how he deals with you and where he puts you. That we are involved in a drama with the Lord. And some of you know in your heart of hearts that what you're doing is not what you're called to do. You've just been marking time. How many of you know that? Yeah, lots of you. Lots of you. Now, the thing is, when are we going to get on with it? I recognize that some of you may be under the hand of God's restraint because there is a preparation that comes after the call and before the commission. But I personally believe that God is saying some of you have your appointed hour of commissioning is upon you. In the same way it's upon me, I believe that it's upon you. And so this morning I'm going to ask those of you who have that stirring in your heart. You know you're busy doing one thing, but you know your calling is another direction. If you know that to be you, stand. Now, I want you to notice your companions. Look around you. All right? These are among those who are saying, I know I'm occupied at one level, but I feel very strongly God has called me to another level. Now, Sergey and Lazma have shared with us both last night in a smaller context and this morning in a larger context the evolution of God in their life. If you can hear it, you know, he had grace for a certain thing, then there was a greater grace. Now there's an international grace. For him, the city became small, then the nation became small, then Europe became small, and now the earth is a tiny thing in his heart. God does that for us. So, Pastor, if you and Lazma would be so kind, I'm going to call these folks forward. If you just lay hands on them and affirm that call in their life, we're going to ask God to start changing the circumstances. When I was in Ukraine, I was going to host a prophetic seminar, a teaching prophetic seminar in a conference. And before I could get started, some young fellow sitting on the front said, I have a word for you. I said, well, I haven't taught you how to do that yet. Imagine. And so he stood and prophesied to me that God's favor was upon me and was about to open many new doors of opportunity for me. Now, here's what I know about that. Some of you are going with me. That's the way it is. God did not build us together for a fragment of us to go. He's put us together as a body to function and supply our part to the nations. Okay? Those of you who are standing, I want to call you on up here. What we're doing this morning is we're just acknowledging consciously to one another and before the Lord that God's call is upon us and that the circumstances we're involved in seem to be working at odds with that. But as Sergey was testifying, God said, go to the nations. Well, when you're the poorest nation in the pot, economically, it's hard to go across the border because everything's expensive. There is no good deal across the border. You understand? But they went and God has begun to supply. And I think it is that season for us. So bless your hearts. Let's present ourselves to the Lord. And you prophetic folks, if you've got something stirring, let me know in just a second. Father, here is the testimony right here in front of us of God at work in the hearts of men and women. Because we are saying together, we recognize this is a different season of our life. That our hands and minds have been occupied in the affairs of life. But our spirit is still for the kingdom. And now I'm asking that as of this day, that there would be a pressing consciousness of the call of God stirring the souls of these who stand before you. And that you would begin to make opportunity, that there would be others who would come to them and say, you know, God is saying he's going to open doors of opportunity for you. Where's Doug? Doug, come here. Come stand here. So I began to say that. I saw you moving out. Lord, I lay hands of blessing upon my brother. Bless you, Holy Spirit, for your call upon him. You've given him a season of new release and availability. You have taught him much, Lord, about the spirit of servanthood. And you placed within him, Lord, a hand-embroidered gentleness in his spirit. You've taught him, Lord, how to serve. Yes, Lord, I release your grace now in Jesus' name and pray that they stand behind him there. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. That you would just minister, Lord, your freshness to this man. Give him Caleb's spirit. That in his 80s, he said, give me the high ground. He would chase the giants out of it and conquer it for the Lord. I bless you, Father, in Jesus' name for your mercy to us. So, Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, God who is Spirit, we welcome you. To awaken the fire of God within us. Is Louise standing in front of me? Come here. I just saw you in my mind's eye. So, Pastor, if you and Lasma would begin to minister here, we would appreciate that. I forgot to see who my prophetic leader was today. Y'all got anything stirring? You got no? Nothing. Okay, we're good. All right. I want to thank our first-time guest for being with us. And, Courtney, if you would take... Is Courtney standing up here? Caitlin's back there? Okay, good. I'd like to release our guests immediately to the kitchen. And some of our folks will meet with you. The rest of you are free to stay or go, but we're going to be ministering here for a while. You have something for me? So, Father, I submit to you that in this moment our hearts have been released and enlarged by your Spirit. And I ask, God, that you would begin to open doors of opportunity for us. I pray especially for Louise and her household, Father, as they're entering into a new season of life, that the... Louise, I see tiny footprints, almost like you're walking with your knees held together, but you're making forward progress. And there's kind of a viewing taking place, a moving back and forth as you see things and you make note of them. And there's a impartation that's coming into your spirit from the things that you observe that increase the pace with which you move forward. So, Lord, I want to bless you today for these. And I speak release to them, Lord, that you would begin to give us avenues and opportunities to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ and fulfill the destiny for which we have been ordained. Lord, may you release us into your purposes and may they be full of surprise and us be startled with joy by the faith and excitement that should be released in that in Jesus' name.